I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
All right, welcome back. Lance, you would be so jealous. I'm here in Arizona. We're playing. We've got a golf trip going on. Got my college roommate, both the boys from Green Bay. They just brought me in a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. It's delicious. Just fantastic. So I'm good. Don't worry about me. But I got to tell you.
Well, we weren't worried about you.
So we come down here to Arizona to play golf. It's 37 to 38 degrees, raining sideways.
What? It's in like Arizona?
In Arizona. It was warmer in Green Bay yesterday, where they all came from, than it was we're here in Arizona. So we had to quit after about 12. It was just coming in sideways. It was like, oh, my God, what a week that we picked. It never rains in Arizona, never cold. It's freaking freezing. Anyway, so it's Lent. Lent started yesterday. We went to church, got our ashes. We sat down, and because of the Olympics, they wanted y'all to know that we watched Miracle. Okay, it's 46 years ago, but they wanted to make sure that you guys knew we watched Miracle. Can I tell you how hard it is to be around a lot of drunks when you're sober and you watch a movie with them? You guys don't know, but it is very, very difficult to be around a lot of drunk people because, one of the guys said, you know, after they scored the goal, the whole bench emptied and they were all on the ice and they were all congratulating with 10 minutes to go in the game, right? You can't empty the bench. This is so bad. This is terrible. You can't empty the bench when I know I played junior hockey or some crap. Anyway, last night, the U.S. beats Sweden.
Late
with a goal and emptied the bench. And, well, of course, that was an overtime goal to beat them. But you can empty the bench when you score a goal, okay? So I'm gonna have to get I'm gonna have to get on them today. Anyway, I just wanted to to make sure that you guys knew that we watched Miracle last night. For some reason, this was important to all the drunks. So just so you knew.
Oh, I forgot. You have to deal with drunk people when you're sober, and you don't like those people. You start to become self-reflective at how you're a problem.
When I'm drunk, I'm smart. When they're drunk, they're stupid.
So smart.
Yeah.
When you're drunk, that's one of the things I always say to myself is, I can't believe how smart John gets when he's been drinking.
That's what everybody says.
That's what everyone says. And he's a pleasure to be around.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's different with other people. It's terrible.
I'm not going to say it. I'll tell you guys during the break. Just agents saying bad things about Diego Pavia. That's just, you know, if he's not your guy, you shouldn't. If you've got a quarterback that you think I've rated below Diego Pavia and you're not happy, you shouldn't say those things about another player.
Okay. All right. Speaking of which, Tom Telesco, who is a GM for, what, a dozen years in the NFL, was on with Pete Schrager. Listen to this exchange between Pete Schrager and Tom Telesco.
John, Dell doesn't have it.
Well, I put it in there, and I teased it, and it's at the top of the audio. He said it does.
Wait a minute. I know what he's going to say, and this doesn't say anything about me.
Yeah, it does.
He better mention my name.
What?
He better mention my name.
No,
he's mentioning mock draft simulators. Those aren't. That's had nothing to do with me. Those were created by Draft Network and Pro Football Focus.
Listen,
don't play this, Del.
It's what you do.
Don't play. I don't do mock drafts. I hate them. But actually, Ryan Poles told me when he was with the Bears that they did a study. And that they believe that mine, relative to all the drafts, there's three guys. And I can't remember. There's three people. He said, your draft, and it's usually your third draft, your third mock draft, is the most like an NFL draft, the most normal mock draft. And we use that. And that's one of the things, because they simulate some different mock drafts for the Bears. He told me this 3 years ago. That they use my third mock draft, not my fourth one that comes out, my third one, to help simulate what other teams might do. So I do know that teams actually do pay attention to some mock drafts, but only as it doesn't cause a player to go up or down. That's not, people get all upset. This is a smoke screen and you're trying to push a player down to another team and they're giving you bad information. No, that's not what happens. What happens is, they just say, man, they sit in a room and they say, we're trying to figure out what the Vikings could do here. Let's see what other opinions are, because everything we've got is right in this room. So we're all in a little bubble here.
Right.
What are some other people think? Like, what are some people who, you know, maybe have a connection there, let's see what some other ideas might be, because all you're doing is trying to create contingency plans based on who other people may draft.
Let's listen to Schrager and Telesco.
He better mention my name.
I'm trying to make it so your life isn't totally worthless.
I thought your life's work was evaluating talent.
It is.
But not mocks. Mocks is for the clicks.
Yeah.
Mocks are basically your life work.
I hate this. He's so reductive. You've actually made my life worse. With what you've said the last 4 minutes has made my life worse.
Well, let's hear from these guys.
Sitting up here till 8:30 at night every night writing up Bauer Sharp from LSU tight end.
It into mock drafts. That's all it's about.
A tight end who's not going to get drafted?
That's it. Your mock draft. That's it. That's all you're worth.
As far as first round goes when it comes to, are we going to be able to get this guy? Is he going to be there? Is it fact-finding? Is it keeping your cards close to the vest? Because let's just call it what it is. I talk to all the GMs. I don't really get concrete information, but it certainly helps inform me when it comes to putting together my last mock draft.
Yeah, you're actually more informed than most, I think. But it's, like you don't want to show your cards. I wanted everything done by April 1st.
Really?
I want all the coach
drafts evals 25
done.
Days away.
I wanted the coach evals done. I wanted all of our pro day stuff done. All the character, the medical. I want all that done, and then we would get into small groups in April and you know do a lot of draft management. And then I did, and I think it was on the PFF website. I can't tell you how many mock drafts I would do with the first round. I would do hundreds of them.
You would
simulate my own all the time you want to prepare for every possible scenario in the first couple of rounds. And it was just a really quick, efficient way to do it. I would actually write down some scenarios. I'd go back in with the head coach, the player personnel director, the college director, and say, hey, look, all right, this is the situation. How would we handle this?
I feel like you're in an F1 and you're like in the simulator, in Top Gun or something. All right, how are you going to handle this situation?
Absolutely helpful. I just think the more prepared you are for that day, the better. I mean, you're making choices with the clock ticking over your head. So you got to be able to move. You got to be able to move quick. So the last couple of years, I used to use those mock simulators a ton.
Now he's out of a job.
Well, now
he's out of a job. Guess you shouldn't have done. So the mock simulator, you know, I had the idea first, and then I shared it, and I don't know if they took it directly, but Draft Network, I shared it with some people from Draft Network. My concept, I had some great ideas that I just never executed. My concept was creating, since I knew who all these players were, creating different little sub-levels. Like, okay, this is a guy who has great traits. Okay, this is a guy who has great traits and great college production. Okay, this guy has great college production, is very fast. You put them in little silos, and then you go look at all the general managers and what they – you look at their history and what they tend to – what they tend to draft, their draft history, what they covet. And then you also take – so then you also rank all the players, and then you put what the team needs are. And then what you would – it's still my idea. No one's doing this one now, where the team – where the person who comes in to simulate a draft can say what they want their team to prioritize. Is it big schools? Is it production? Is it traits? Is it this, that, or the other? But they've done a good job. Pro Football Focus and I mean, a lot of people have it now. These mock draft simulators, people go there all the time to see what the Texans will do. And you don't have to know all the players at all. Somebody else has done the work. And you just hit Texans, simulate. And they'll say, okay, here's your 7-round Texans mock draft. Boom. Boom. And so I could see where they would run those, because all it does is create contingencies. You just get a lot of different things that, I never thought about him. My next mock draft is where I do a little crazier stuff. I do trades, and I'll start putting people up there who I think have a chance to get drafted early, and it pisses everybody off because they're used to the groupthink. And I'm going to have guys higher than everyone else does because I think that they have a real chance to go higher. I may drop guys even further, although I was kind of – it's kind of what I did in this last one. And the fans get really pissed off. NFL teams don't get pissed at all. NFL teams say, Well, they may say, ooh, that's how we saw this guy. Or they may also say – I wonder if he's talking to somebody, or I haven't thought about that. Hey, what do you think about this? What do we think about it? Is there any chance that he would fit here with the, you know, with the Cleveland Browns? Is this guy a fit? Why would Lance or whoever put them with the Browns? What's the analytical? Is there an analytics based approach here, based on why he would be looking at him? Because Andrew Berry's big into analytics. There's all kinds of things like that that happen. So that doesn't surprise me. But I don't know. That's getting a lot of love. But this is not what I do. I don't care about doing mock drafts. I hate having to do mock drafts.
No, fans get so mad.
He is gaslighting me.
Why would you let him?
Pretty
do this
much
to you?
All your know. Worth, really.
He goes, that's see, your life has meaning now.
Why would you let this man determine what your life's worth?
And Tom Telesco didn't even mention me. If he had said, you know, I had to say, Lance Zierlein's mocks. Do you know him, Pete? Yeah, I know Lance.
Well, he did talk about simulators, which is kind of close to what you
do. It's not what I do at all. I write up prospects. I don't do simulators.
I just feel like that this gives you a little value in your life.
You allowed this drunken lout to get you to a point where
he's sober now.
But
I'm sober.
But we know him as a drunken lout. We know
that stuff is not through his
kidney. It's affected his brain chemistry.
That's not through his liver yet. Actually, you're not sober because there's still a lot of toxicity.
No, it's all gone.
It's not gone.
I don't know why you would let him do this.
It's not gone.
This man will quote things from The Hobbit, and you allow him to get to you? Stop it.
You get mad about The Hobbit.
No, I get mad because he pretends like he's not a nerd.
You get mad because he said I could curl.
Well, I know you can't.
Well,
he is really the one that causes the most problems.
He's very
disruptive.
He causes dissent.
Yeah, he's disruptive. We're acting like he's not even here. He is a
you
very
know what? Let's talk
disruptive.
About him like he's not here.
He's a very disruptive person.
I mean, you can't say he's a good teammate. You know.
Well, what we should do is call H.R.P. That's what we should do.
That's fine. Call
you know what I'm saying?
Call Herp. And let's get them in here on the case.
H.R.P. can handle problem
like
employees,
John.
Like myself, okay? It's all you need, okay? You need more than that. What HRP brings to the table is a lot more than that. And here's the difference between HRP and an admin company. I don't know which admin company you're with, but they all have their own. Listen, they do it all. They do the HR, they do the payroll, the taxes, they do all of that, the benefits packages. The problem is they do it all. The problem is that they sell you their benefits packages, and they lure you over here with, look at our price on payroll and HR, but then boom, they get you over here while you're watching the left hand, the right hand is over here. and screwing you with high costs on your benefits packages. HRMP doesn't do that. HRMP finds the best benefits packages for you and gives you a great price on the HR and payroll as well. Just there, listen, if you're with a, it's hard. I don't want to change over. Well, you don't want to change over. You don't want to make more money. You don't want to be more productive. You don't want to do it better for your employees. Is that what it is? Because it's too hard. Stop. All right. Your admin company may not be servicing you right. Let HRMP try. HRP.net. Free evaluation. HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Watching the OT win last night by the U.S. men's team, Quinn Hughes waved off the coach, told him, no, I'm not coming off the ice, and then skated around and wristed one past him to win the game. How ballsy is that? No, I ain't coming off the ice. That is awesome.
And do I deserve some credit? I said, hey, Sidney Crosby, you want to pick up an injury? And he picked up an injury yesterday. Now, Canada found a way to win, unfortunately, after being down to Czechia, or the Czech Republic, as we like to say here in this country. But Sidney Crosby, questionable going forward. If we win, thank me, true patriot.
How about that? And now we're in the semis. They're in the semis. They're on the other side.
Yes.
So we win one more, and they win one more, and we play each other. How good will that game be?
It'll be great, but I know how that's going to end. It ends the way they all end. American heartbreak.
No, what?
Four Nations, you remember that?
Yeah, guess what? We kicked their ass in the earlier round.
Great, and what happened in the final?
Yeah, but guess what? That doesn't matter.
It does matter. They won the tournament. That actually matters.
Highest payroll by rosters. The United States, $199 million. Canada, $191. Sweden, $167. Finland. Well, they got less because they got fewer players in the NHL than the United States does. Yeah. $199 million. Wow. Holy crap. Anyway, U.S. Yeah, and the women advanced as well.
Yeah, they've had an easy time of it so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Canada, their biggest, they beat them earlier in the tournament 5-0. And that's their biggest rival.
They play Canada because of that ass kicking. They play Canada today in the second semifinal. The Swiss and the Swedes are playing in the first one. So I'm sure people thought Canada versus USA in the final, but it's in the semis. In women's hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's fun. That's good stuff. 713-780-3776.
I got something I want to play. So yesterday was the UFC. So UFC fight night is going to be this Saturday. Fluffy Hernandez takes on Sean Strickland in the main event. And it is not for a belt, but it's basically to be next up. And it is it's the first time UFC has been back here in 4 years. Our old friend Mick Maynard is one of the matchmakers. He lives here in Houston. Mick's an awesome guy, an Aussie, who did a show with Raheel and Show Enough Stuff was it 1560? No, I think it was ESPN 97.5 is where he did his fight show, and he also was part of Legacy Fights. He was a big part of that. I don't know if that was his fight. I know he made the matches, might have even been his entire fight setup. And the UFC found Mick and made him one of their key matchmakers. And so he's put together part of the card in here. He handles certain weight classes. Anyway, they had media day yesterday. And I went over there to pick up. I didn't have time to attend. I thought I was going to get my actual media credential for the event. So I walked over there. And it was just for fight day. And I'm like, I'd love to see this for the first time, be part of the interview process and just watch. But I had too many guys to write up, so I couldn't do it. I couldn't stick around. I knew Sean Strickland would have something to say. John, are you familiar? You've seen Sean Strickland on your timeline. 100%. You've seen him on your timeline.
Ball guy.
Yes. Yes. He says he literally, there is no filter at all. He knows there is no repercussions. He's his own boss. Dana doesn't care what he says. So he can say whatever he wants to say. And he does say whatever he wants to say. It is completely unencumbered. It is completely filterless. And I do think some of it is clearly for effect, what he says. But it is also still, at this point, a little bit shocking what he says, because, like, I'm just not used to hearing people out loud say all of the things he's saying. Almost like, I can say this and you can't do anything about it. Here is Sean Strickland, and we'll play as much of it as we can. A lot of it is beeped out. He went on a rant yesterday at the media event against Bad Bunny, against women in the UFC, who, by the way, I believe were on this card.
By the way,
they're on the card, and Dana loves...
I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
And he said, Dana at one point said, I would never have female MMA fighters. And then he said, I totally changed. These guys are great. These women are great. They fight harder. They blah, blah, blah. So Dana's totally done a 180 on this. Sean Strickland doesn't care. He thinks they need to be cooking and cleaning. So here is some of, and Dell doesn't like that I'm even platforming Sean Strickland, and I get it. I just want you to know this caused a big uproar yesterday in the MMA community, and this is going to be a fight in Houston, which is one of the reasons I put it on. Here's what Sean Strickland had to say yesterday at the Westin Galleria Hotel on the fourth floor.
Like, I mean, look at the NFL, dude. You had that. I don't even want to say the faggot's name because, like, it's just like, what? Somebody give me his name. Just come say his name. I don't want to say it. You know what I'm talking about. The halftime show guy. The Puerto Rican, right? Puerto Rican?
Bad Bunny?
Bro, yeah, that fucking faggot. Like, dude, it is so crazy that this is America now. Like, back in the day, dude, the NFL was the fucking standard of being a fucking man. And now every fucking year, the NFL, I think they all get together around a table and say, you know what, guys? How do we fucking ruin this sport? How do we get it up? How do we fucking ruin it? Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we bring a gay foreigner who doesn't speak fucking English and have him perform it? Like, get the fuck. And then you have, like, yeah, dude, it's like the NFL is, like, fucking pathetic these days. So even, like, the NFL players probably hate it.
Yeah, it is not. We are
NFL's great. I think we'd all agree the NFL got real gay lately.
That's before he went on in his tirade against women in the UFC. And you're right. It is. I didn't realize how many beeps they had to put in there. That would have taken, you wouldn't have been able to cut that out.
Not between the time you sent it to me and getting it on the air. Well, he did pose a couple things. Do you want to answer them as far as you're being the NFL's man?
Sure. Go ahead and pose them. We'll see if I can answer some of these for you.
Do you agree with Sean Strickland?
Isn't it true?
Do you believe in this economy? Do you agree that Sean Strickland at the NFL has gotten really effing gay?
No, I do not agree.
That's my only question.
And we'll see what he thinks when Matt Crosby. Although I bet you Max Crosby likes him.
Is it gayer than when Dick Butkus and Ray Nitschke played?
So you know that the joke is now Sean Strickland is a stand-up fighter, so it's harder to make this joke. It's harder to get this off. You know that he's saying that when you know for a fact there's a lot of people who grapple in the guard where one man is between another man's legs. I'm just making the easy, basic. I'm a fan of jiu-jitsu. I'm a fan of all of this. We had Dana on before anyone did back in 2002. I was at a UFC in 2001. So I'm a huge fan. However, the easy joke here to make is, I'm sorry, excuse me. Are you saying the NFL is super gay when this video exists? And you can find any number of grappling videos that people use to say that, you know, the sport is gay. Mm-hmm. It's obviously just dumb, you know.
Yeah, sometimes they lay on top of each other for a while, and it's just like,
Well, Dana has disincentivized that by giving knockout bonuses. And frankly, you know, you want a chance to be in the UFC, you better stand and bang a little bit more. You better not just go down and just try
laying on each other and bang.
Yeah. I knew. As soon as I said stand up and bang, I was like, I just made a mistake. But I couldn't do anything. I just thought, I'll just power through it. There's a 7% chance he won't pick up on that.
It was 0%.
Yeah, it really was zero. But I thought if I talk fast enough and get to another, like get to another non sequitur, it would, but it didn't. Mm-hmm. It didn't take.
Mm-hmm. I gotta watch some more of Sean Strickland.
let me tell you, that's only part of it. There's a lot about wait until you get to the women. Boy, does he hold women in high regard.
I don't know. I don't know.
That guy, and I'll tell you something else. I like the way Strickland fights. I like the things he says.
Strickland, he makes it a lot of sense.
Strickland.
I don't take no orders from the woman, by the way.
Yeah, that guy could not have played in the NBA.
Sean Strickland. Yeah.
Sean Strickland saw Alperen Şengün's comments about that female ref and went like, what's the problem? Now they're gaying up the NBA. Well, no, he can't call the referee a B. By the way, a man or woman, by the way, that's going to get you a tech with a man. It gets you ejected saying it to a woman. Right? He would have got a T for calling Tony Brothers the B, for calling him a bitch.
I don't know.
Tony Brothers would have teed him up.
At least. I don't know what the magic words are for referees who are men. I don't think
you would have gotten ejected.
Word, if you call,
you're catching two T's.
If you call him the F word, you get ejected. I think.
Yeah, you're getting ejected.
And you're going to get fined.
Yeah, Kobe.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you get ejected, you get fined anyway.
But no, you get an extra.
You're right. You would get, if he had dropped the Bad Bunny slur on, you would have gotten suspended.
Speaking of which, the Doug Gottlieb thing is ridiculous. Let's talk about that on the other side. We got Sanjak to talk about right now.
Sanjak.edu. I'm glad I get to talk about it. I've actually heard from a couple different people who have already enrolled, and they didn't even know this was an option. They had no idea about San Jacinto College. Did you know that we have the nation's number two college is ranked by the Aspen Institute for community colleges in the country? It's right here in Houston. They received the Aspen Prize Community College Excellence finalist with distinction. And the reason's simple. They are offering, and I'm going to talk to you if you're listening right now, you're not, you know, you're obviously not in high school, and you work somewhere, maybe you don't have a job. Do you know that San Jacinto College can give you an opportunity to enroll in one of six different campuses? They also have remote learning available as well. And they've got over 200 different associate degree and certificates available in a career option that you may really want to get into. And I mean, it spans everything. I was blown away by all the different areas that it spans. There is going to be something that you want to get into that you're not into, and they're going to have that opportunity to help make you more learned in that topic and give you your best chance to change careers. That's what Sanjak can do for you. So it's your goals, your college. Be fearless. Let's take that shot at really changing your course of action and in the course of your life by finding a career that can be much more rewarding and something you really want to do at sanjak.edu. That's sanjac.edu.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to John and Lance. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 975-713-780-3776. We got Kellen Sampson coming up in about 40 minutes here, on 50 minutes on ESPN 97.5. Kellen Sampson will talk to us about what's going on with this Cougs team. They got Arizona coming up Saturday. College basketball is so good right now, bro. College basketball is awesome. I was watching, Uncle, what's his name? He's on with
Festus.
Scott. No, he's on with Scott Van Pelt. Anyway, He had his 12 teams that he thinks can
win.
He's
got, oh, no. You mean his friend who does gambling
cousin,
stuff?
Cousin. What's his name?
Yeah. No, that's Steve. No, there's Cousin Sal.
Yeah, Steve.
Which, yeah, Steve. Steve. Stanford Steve.
Yeah. Anyway, he's got 12 teams. Cougs, one of them, obviously. He had, five Big Ten teams, five Big 12 teams, one ACC team, and one, one SEC team, I think. Anyway.
SEC. What a scrap last night between Arkansas and Alabama.
Yeah. What about how, oh, my God, Darren Peterson took himself out of the game again last night.
He's not. I mean, I'm just telling you, this guy's a problem.
And Bill Self was like, oh, I thought he could play.
He's got 54 games a year.
He could have had a big night, but he just said, no, I can't go anymore. Okay.
He's got 54 games a year written all over him in the NBA.
If that.
You cannot take him over DeBanza. You cannot.
Did you see and afterwards, John Calipari was talking about Darius Acup, and he's his guard, and he was in a walking boot for 2 days before the game, and Calipari said, "You think you're going to be able to go in this game?" And he goes, "Are you nuts? Of course I'm playing." And that's like the opposite of Darren Peterson. Darren Peterson has sniffles, and he's out of the game. I mean, maybe we're overplaying. I don't know that we are, though. If you have this little drive and this, I mean, you watch Kingston Flemings and CNAC and JoJo, how hard they play and how bad they want it. And you got this guy who's going to be the number one overall pick, won't play because he's got flu-like symptoms.
He can't. Look, it is going to be so hard for the first pick to pass on the talent, but you must pass, because even if it looks good for 3 years, it's going to fall apart on you.
And
I really don't think, I think once he gets all of his money, he's doing this with NIL money. What do you think he's going to do with guaranteed NBA money? It's just, if in fact he won't play hurt, there is no chance that this guy is going. You already see what it is with Zion. Like, it's just like, oh, my God, Zion. Ben Simmons, Zion. These guys with immense talent. You see what happens. And this guy's showing you potentially. I hate to judge him already, but from the looks of it, he's already showing that his basketball character and willingness to play when he's not at his best, or even just, it's not even played when he's not at his best, the fact that he feels like he doesn't, quote-unquote, feel right, that is a huge red flag. And you draft those guys and ask Philadelphia how it turned out with Ben Simmons. Ask New Orleans how it's gone with Zion Williamson. You end up giving him a second contract, and it only gets worse. It only gets worse. And that's what it looks like with Darren Peterson. It looks like he's that kind of guy right now.
Yeah, Jay Williams was on. It might have been this morning. He said, if I were a general manager, I'd be extremely concerned about Darren Peterson. His talent is unquestionable. It's elite, but I don't feel like he really wants to be there. And I don't want that on my team.
No.
I mean, I want a Will Anderson type attitude.
If you just love money and you don't love ball,
yeah,
you cannot, you must pass on the talent to go get the guy who is the player. Don't draft a player. Don't draft talent. Draft a player.
Yep. So JT Toppin went down.
Uh-huh.
Richie Saunders went down from BYU as well. So it's really changing it's really changing the atmosphere. I mean, without JT Toppin, I don't think Texas Tech can do it. There's no way.
No chance.
So
what is his injury long term? What have they said?
Well, he's done for the year.
Oh, he's done for the year?
He's done for the year. Yeah.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're cooked. I wouldn't even keep playing.
You just think they should quit.
I just said go.
Wait a minute. Why did so?
Go full Peterson.
The Cougs had to play them with JT Toppin.
Yeah, that's not fair.
That's not fair. Right? That's bull. We'll talk to Coach Kellen Sampson. about that?
Don't ask him if you think it's fair they had to play with JT.
Well, I will say this.
He might laugh, although he looked incredibly serious after they got beat against Iowa State. He kind of stormed down the handshake line, and I was like, oh, man. And the first thing I thought of was, I bet this locker room's not going to be a fun place to be.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, though. Coach, during losses, coach is different than he's a lot harder on them when they win. And
remember,
don't play.
This isn't Kelvin. We're having a son.
When they start feeling themselves, coach, then that's when coach. I don't think he kicks them when they're down.
No. But I just thought Kellen looked like he was pissed.
Oh, yeah. I saw. Did you see Kingston walking off the floor, too? He was like, son of a. Wait, this was our game.
Why is Kingston still playing? Isn't he hurt? Shouldn't he be sitting out? I thought if you're going to be a top six pick, you just sit out.
No, you don't. No.
Well, you're not supposed to do that. That's right.
No, you're not supposed to do that. So 713-780-3776. Let's catch up on breaks right here. 713-780-3776. Why don't you talk about little Craig DeSurf?
Yeah, Craig DeSurf. Did you just call him little Craig DeSurf? That's jacked up. Craig DeSurf used to lift. He used to be a bodybuilder. Okay, so he was hard and he's not tall. I will say, he's not tall. But he lifted. He could bench press you, so please be careful what you say about him because he's also the guy that can also get you deals right now, like 0% APR financing on a GMC Sierra 1500 Elevation truck with a crew cab and a Turbo Max engine. Turbo Max engine, what are we doing here? 0% financing? 0% financing means zero interest on your payments. So extend extend that out as many years as you want to do that because it makes more sense. You can lower the rates. And that's one of the things that Craig DeSurf and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC and Angleton, it's one of the things they do. If for some people, like I bought my wife's car, it's important for me to pay off. I just want the best interest rate and I want to pay it off as soon as possible. There are other cars, like with my son Alec, we had a lease. I wanted to keep the payments as low as possible for as long as possible. But I had to think about, okay, what's the mileage going to look like? Does this make sense? They will help, and they are so good at helping you find the right vehicle. I mean, it's your choice. A pickup, an SUV, crossover. Every once in a while, you'll find a sedan, a pre-owned vehicle, a new vehicle, a lease, a purchase. Whatever it is that moves you or that is important to you, they help answer those questions for you. You're in control of the car buying experience. They don't even make you negotiate price. They're like, we're not going to jerk around with you. This is our best offer right here. This is what we do. And then they help make it a reality for you. They help facilitate with great trade-in values, finding every dealer incentive they can find. And you're going to love what they do for you before, during, and after the sale. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Check out all their great offers on Buicks, on Chevys, and on GMCs when you go to LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2. You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN. 713-780-3776, the number. We got callers, so let's get them in here because we promised if they called, they would get in. What do you say? Who's up, though? Keith is up. Hey, Keith.
Hey guys, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I got an idea for the Astros. You know, the outfield is, you know, not as good as you'd like. You know, they're probably going to bat 7, 8, 9 in the order. But I have an idea that you could bring in a two-position veteran player in Joey Gallo. He can come out of the bullpen. He's pitching for teams right now in Florida as a righty who throws gas. And then he can also play in the outfield and be a late-inning pinch hitter. Joey Gallo is throwing. He could be kind of the Astros version of Ohtani. I'd rather have Gallo pitching and playing the outfield in multiple positions than a Michael Conforto who's going to be 33 years old. What do you think?
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, Joey Gallo, it was out of the league. pretty much because, well, suck. He hit 161 his last year. He had a 613 OPS. That was in 2024. And before that, a 741 OPS, a 638 OPS, a 671, a 621. Joey Gallo hasn't been any good at baseball for a while now. So, no, there's Keith. He's emulating the San Diego Padres general manager. Let's just bring in, throw whatever up against the wall and see what sticks. Yeah, the Astros are looking at Michael Conforto. He's a better option because he's a little bit better than at baseball.
So you don't want the Astros version of Ohtani here and Joey Gallo?
That's what the Astros version of Ohtani is, maybe the craziest thing I've heard. Okay, that is really, really bothersome. At least Conforto last year, he played for the Dodgers. He had a 637 OPS. Before that, 759, 718. At least he's in the 700s recently in the last 5 years, as opposed to Joey Gallo. So, no, Michael Conforto wasn't good at baseball last year, but, who knows who's going to be good for the Astros? I mean,
is this where we are? I know it's Keith and all, but Joey Gallo.
Yellow.
This is not where we are. If you notice, I'm not talking about this. I'm not letting him Carson Wentz us into Joey Gallo.
So he called in to my show last week and wanted us to break down what's happening with the Red Sox. He's like, man, the Red Sox keep losing guys. What do you think? How can the Red Sox overcome this? Meanwhile, they were better than the Astros and made the playoffs. Sean and I have decided when Keith makes a call like that, we're just simply going to respond with one of the great clapbackers of all time.
I know where you live, white boy.
Who said that?
That was Kevin Durant.
I know where you live, white boy?
Yes, he said that to an OKC fan.
Who is he talking? He doesn't know where that guy lives.
I don't know. But we feel like that is the level of response Keith should get when he makes one of these calls. Like, kind of a threat just to knock it off. Knock it off, Keith. Joey Gallo.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous anyway. Yeah. By the way, shout out our guy Raheel. I talked about Mick Maynard owning Legacy Fights, and then, you know, he now works for the UFC. Raheel works for Fury, and Fury FC 116 is going on Friday night. All the UFC guys are going to be there, so that's going to be a packed house. It's so much fun. Me and Sebastian went to those fights one time, and he absolutely loved it. I did too. It was awesome. They do an amazing job there. They get some good fighters locally and abroad. So Fury FC 116, I don't know if there's still tickets, but if so, and even if there's not tickets for this one, go to the next one because it's a really good event.
Wow. 1 year ago today, there were three fights in the first 9 seconds of USA and Canada.
Yeah, I watched that. It was insane.
1 year ago today. How awesome. How awesome was that? That was great stuff. Great stuff.
No, and now I didn't like it. I like the skill of hockey.
No, well, you know what? You can't do that in the Olympics either. You fight, you're out.
I know.
Right?
But that was in the
Four Nations?
Yeah. That was in Four Nations. Anything goes in Four Nations. It's similar to the Battle of Seven Kingdoms, or what is it called, Dell, when you had
the
to
Trial
fight?
Of Seven?
Yeah, it's very similar to the Trial of Seven. Only, well, that's what it felt like. There was a lot of combat by multiple combatants on the ice.
That's true.
It felt like a Trial of Seven.
Yeah. And
no one died, though, in the hockey fights.
No one.
That
no
we
one
know
really
of.
Died.
No, I mean... No, you can look at the people who fought. It was on video, and they all walked off the ice.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But we don't know what happened. It was part of their head missing after the fight was done, guy?
Those guys are still playing in the league, so no part of their head was missing.
Not sure at this point because we don't get a lot of hockey coverage here in Houston.
Lance, I know you know the internet exists.
Yep. So
if someone died in a Four Nations fight, you would know about it.
Unless there was a cover-up by the lame stream media, Dell.
The lame stream, okay? The hockey, the leftist part of hockey media?
I don't know if it's left or right. I just know somebody's covering something up.
You know,
you know how I know? I talked to my kids, and they saw a video on Instagram or TikTok. Why is there a cover-up going in the NHL about a fight that occurred in the Seven Nations, or no, Four Nations, Trial of Seven fight that was held? But it was an actual hockey game where they just had to fight. Actually, that is what they said spurred U.S., right, for that match. The U.S. actually used that to pump them up, and they won that match, and then Canada got their get back.
Well, yes, Canada won in the final because that's what they do to us when the pros play, at least.
Mm-hmm. That ain't happening this time.
I hope so.
Well, I don't take no orders from no producers, by the way.
I'm not ordering you around.
Yeah, you are. You're ordering a win by the Canadians.
No, I'm not. Well, we first have to get there. We have to...
Oh, don't worry about that.
Well, it was worrisome yesterday.
And then don't worry about us beating their ass either, the Canadians. All right?
All right, John.
Yeah.
Hockey expert John Granato.
They're damn right.
Well, one of us has a cousin that won a gold medal.
That is true.
In the Hockey Hall of Fame.
And one of us has recording equipment that's not breaking up all the time.
Well, that's us too.
Yeah, that's also us.
Yes.
So, John's got one, we got the other.
I had a
cousin. This is breaking up again?
Yes. Let's count all the things our cousins have done. I had a cousin who played in the NFL.
Oh, I've got a cousin who just had a baby.
Hmm.
I've also got cousins, a 6'4" female cousin, and her brother 6'7", because the Steven side, my mom's side of the family, is very tall.
I have a cousin who's a state champion high school football coach.
I have a cousin that used to ride in rodeos.
John, what are your cousins up to?
She did some barrel racing stuff.
Oh, he's disconnected. We got to wait for John to come back.
No, I'm not. Oh. I'm here.
Oh, that sounds much better.
Sounds much better. Now we can go to break before you ruin it.
I'm here.
John's cousins extorted. He extorted some flower shop.
What is one. Pulse? What's that guy's name from the town? Is that like John's cousin who worked at a flower shop?
He was the worst.
He worked
with the mustache.
And
oh my God, that guy was bad. And he was also known as Mr. Kobayashi.
And
Usual Suspects.
He gave Ben Affleck's mom drugs and watched her die in front of him. Isn't that what he did?
I saw the whore die in front of me.
Yeah.
So I had my phone on top of my laptop. That might have been one of the reasons.
My God, this sounds so much better now. You've been doing this for 3 days?
Well, no. Well, kind of.
This actually sounds way. This sounds better than it ever has at any point.
Working with who are we working with?
It doesn't seem like that would be a problem.
Well, apparently it was.
Fergie was his name, who owned the flower shop.
Pete Postlewaite is his real name. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah,
you have a cousin like that, John?
No. That guy owned the flower shop. John's cousins were muscling the guy in the neighborhood.
They wouldn't muscle Fergie.
No, they wouldn't have muscled Fergie at all.
I did.
They would have worked for Fergie.
I did have a cousin named Blackie Granato that was a problem.
901 here on the show.
Hold on.
713.
Why? Is it like in a...
Don't tell him, John.
Is it like in a
Don't
Narcos?
Tell him.
Is that why he was called Blackie? Like
Don't tell him. Don't tell him, John.
Was he of a darker... persuasion,
Narcos.
Like Narcos?
Hey, what's this character's name? Blackie?
Yeah.
Why is it Blackie? Because
he's a black Colombian.
Black Colombian.
Well, that I'm telling you, just telling you. He was a problem. He was a problem. I don't know how he got the nickname. He's actually my dad's cousin. But yeah, he did stuff that you shouldn't do. That's all.
We'll leave it at that.
Yep, that's all. That's all. Anyway, 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here. If you don't have any ridiculous baseball propositions for us, please give us a call. In the meantime,
no one over the age of 34. Don't tell us anything. We don't want anyone.
We don't want anybody over the age of 34.
No, not adding a guy. We don't want to add street free agents to the Astros anymore. Well, unless they're real players.
I thought we didn't want anyone over the age of 34 calling us.
No. You can call.
Yeah.
If there's a good looking girl who wants to date Dell, 713-780-37 or not good looking. 713.
Yeah, why are you putting limits on things?
If you have a good, Dell likes a lot of junky junk.
Wow. Speaking for me in a way that I didn't want you
you're
to.
You're the one who invented the phrase pancake booty.
I did not invent that, but it's something I adopted.
You kind of did. No John Chill this week. We got Kellen Sampson at the bottom of the hour at 9:30. So we'll do that. Right now, though, we're going to talk about Zadok.
Yeah, Zadok Jewelers. Go to ZADOK.com, Zadok.com. Let me go there real quick, man. Let me check this out. Well, I'm trying to see something. Zadok.com on the website, on the splash page, which is the front page. Do I consent to cookies? I decline your cookies, but I don't take it personal, Zadok. I decline those. I like real cookies, but not computer cookies. And they've got the Rolex Land Dweller. You can check that out. The Rolex Sail GP Championship. You can check that out. They have luxury watches that are phenomenal. And they have unique timepieces that no one else in the city and even state will have. And you know why? Because they're a boutique location for a lot of the finest luxury watchmakers in the entire world. They're all in one location at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. People who are really into luxury watches, they know all about Zadok. It's one of the top places to go to buy, to sell, and to trade your luxury watch. So if you are already in the game and you've got one, you've got two, this is what you collect. You don't collect shoes. You don't collect baseball cards. You don't collect custom cars. You have really nice watches that you like. Well, Zadok is the solution for you to come on in, and maybe you want to upgrade from one watch to another. Maybe there's a certain type of luxury watch you've never owned, and you want to take one of your watches and trade it in. They can do that for you. Of course, they're the home for the best diamond engagement rings and helping you make that day that you engage perfect, because they have an upstairs completely for that. But I do want to let you know that when it comes to luxury watches, I want to talk about doing something for you. You stop in today. Even if you're not going to purchase, I want to whet your appetite so that you can see what you aspire to and what you will get in the future when you go to 1801 Post Oak Boulevard at Zadok Jewelers.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.